Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry. I am joined by my co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. My name is Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. Today, we're really excited about the topic because we're going to be talking about focus and presence. In other words, focus and presence to handle and navigate the largesse of everything that's on our plate each and every day as a dental professional, as a dentist, as a practice owner. So super excited for this one, Kyle.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one because I hear this all the time from dentists. Like, we have so many things to do.
Yep.
We not only are treating patients, which is the only thing we were taught in dental school, let's be honest, but on top of that, we're doing payroll, we're going to Costco after dinner, we have to get gas in our cars or, you know, charge our cars, or ordering, hiring, firing. It can be very challenging for dental professionals. And this is something that is specific to dentistry that I think many other medical professions don't deal with. Now, optometrists do deal with this. I think vets do deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes podiatrists, sometimes chiropractors. But in general, most doctors, especially if they're working in a hospital setting, they really just focus on patient care. They come in, they treat patients, and then they leave. And so this is one of the things that you and I have seen that really causes burnout. As you and I have seen many times in our Light Side Life course, is that a lot of the dentists that come to us, the problem is not the clinical dentistry.
Nope.
They're not coming saying, oh my gosh, my crowns are always falling off and all of my implants fail and, you know, I can't get a perfect margin. Like, it happens here or there, you know, 2% of the time maybe. But most of the time they're coming saying, I'm frustrated because I don't know how to talk to my hygienist who's always late, or I have a patient that I want to dismiss, or I feel bad about being in my practice when I want to be home with my husband or wife or my kids or taking care of my parents. And that's what causes so much of the stress. So what tips do you have for the dental professionals listening today?
Well, I have lots of thoughts and lots of tips. I do want to say this. You know, you and I work with hundreds, if not, well, thousands per year, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to invite particularly the dentists that are listening to think about the idea that kind of what we bring to the table is this perspective of hundreds and thousands. Mm-hmm. It's like when I first became disabled and I worked in a laboratory and I realized, and you do this too, I realized that, oh my gosh, I'm seeing thousands of cases come through my hand, more than I would have ever seen in my single career as a clinician. So I'm super excited to share these thoughts with everybody because you and I are actually bringing the perspective of not just ourselves, but thousands of other people, what's worked and what hasn't. So
yeah, it's a good point.
That was one of the reasons why I'm so excited. It's kind of like a restorative dentist calling their lab technician, asking how to pursue this case because a lab technician sees, you know, hundreds a day. So I think the first thing that gets most people into a frenzy, if I may be so bold, is not having a handle on what it is in totality that needs to be done. Because every time you turn around, something else happens, right? And so we end up planning for the fire, or shall I say, just trying to put out fires rather than plan for fire mitigation. And what do I mean by that? Like, I believe most people would agree with us that 90 to 95% of the things we need to get done on a regular basis are identifiable, right?
Yes.
So 5 to 10% become emergencies. Okay, fine. So if that's the case, then what would it be like for people to take a step back and take the time to literally make a list of everything that we need to do so that we can understand the prioritization of those activities, some of which are date bound or time bound. Like, for example, if you're still the one that's processing payroll, well, that's obviously time bound, right? And if you are looking to pay your annual premium for life insurance, I just had that this past month where, you know, it's kind of on me to make sure that I'm paying on time, which is a little weird. But that's a note in my calendar, right? So that then becomes time bound. But how do I make note of that for the future? So the first step is really thinking about everything you need to do and then start prioritizing it based on time, because we have a limited number of hours in the day, but we all have the same 24 hours, right?
Are you talking
So
about prioritizing it by time, meaning how much time it's going to take or when it needs to be done?
it's both. So once we have an entire list of what needs to be done, we know that we have to pay payroll, let's just say every 2 weeks. And we know either by knowledge or we're going to observe that it takes us 45 minutes to do it. Then, therefore, we have to plan the 45 minutes to go ahead and process said payroll. So it's a little bit of both. And sometimes we may have an understanding of how long it takes, and sometimes we don't, right? But what I think stresses people out the most, not what I think I know, is the largesse of everything they have to do and that feeling of overwhelm. Because things aren't actually accounted for in one place. And they're like, oh, shoot, I got to do this. Oh, shoot, I got to do that. Versus going to, for lack of a better way to put it, a list of seeing everything you need to do to then be able to navigate through it.
Well, this goes back to one of the podcasts. I can't remember which one it was. We've recorded so many now, where we talked about checklists and how, if they can use it in the OR and they can use it to fly a commercial plane, why can't we use it? And the starting point of those checklists was the inventory, right? The first thing we said was, this is everything that has to be done. And that could be in the practice, that could be your life, whatever. Then you can say, you can subcategorize that based on how often it needs to be done. Is it twice daily, three times daily, once a week, once a month, once a year, once every 2 years, like your CE courses or your CE credits, right? Which is like every 2 years. And then from there, who does it? And like you said, with payroll, that could be you. But maybe you need to be having someone else do this. Maybe you need to have an executive assistant do this, or maybe your husband or wife will do this, or maybe your office manager does this, or you hire a part-time CFO. And then once you have those categorized, you can then make the time for them and
Absolutely.
the reminders and the checklist. And I think that's what gets dentists into trouble. Is that their schedule at their practice is all clinically patient-centered, which sounds great, right? You're a dentist, you treat patients. But when you're treating the patient and you're thinking, you're literally prepping the tooth and you're thinking, oh crap, I have to do payroll after this. But my wife wanted me home for dinner at this time, and I have to get that. What do I do? And that problem was that you didn't separate your tasks correctly. And one thing we talked about that you've said many times is that we have to have separate times for patient care, for practice management, and for non-dental time. Those are our three different categories, let's say. Now, your non-dental time is going to the gym, eating dinner, playing with your kids, seeing your husband or wife, going to the grocery store. I mean, every other task you're doing that's not patient-centered or practice management-centered. But the biggest problem that I see for owners, or maybe even not owners, maybe even associates that may have some leadership responsibilities, right? Maybe you have a kind of a silent owner, someone that owns a practice, but you're the main doctor there. You still have to be a leader. Those leadership tasks, whether you're the owner or not, have to be on your schedule.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I will also say, because I've worked through this with hundreds of docs, this can feel overwhelming at first. And the reason why it feels overwhelming, in my observation, is this. We're achievers, right? We're overachievers, many of us. And we're like, well, I'm going to do this. It's got to get done. Well, who the heck made that rule? So if we decide we're going to take the next 3 months to create a new reality for ourselves and our lives, great. And so we need to stop putting so much pressure on ourselves to get everything done immediately. And what I've also seen happen is as you go through this process, you start to see that not everything has to be done at once. Meaning if everything's important, nothing's important.
Yes.
And so I don't need to do payroll this week, so I can do this week. I don't need to look at my Delta Dental contract until, you know, the month of August. This is the month of May, so I don't need to worry about it. But just the simple fact that it's accounted for, potentially scheduled, either literally day and time or more generally within a given month, that alleviates stress because you're not sitting there saying, oh my gosh, I got to do this. When am I going to do it? You know, you've had either exact or general time allotted when it needs to be taken care of because we can't do everything all at once. That's impossible. That's impossible.
Yeah. And I think what you're alluding to is the difference between a checklist that literally just has tasks and a checklist that is prioritized and organized and subcategorized.
Yes.
And maybe, can you explain the Eisenhower matrix? Because I learned this from you, so I can't do it justice. But can you explain this and how the Eisenhower matrix can help us solve some of these problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I think even before we get into that, as we're going through our general inventory, you said it. We have to ask ourselves, do I need to be doing this? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, well, if the answer is no, then of course it's obvious we can delegate it. We'll get to that in a minute. If the answer is yes, we can also ask ourselves, well, what would have to change in order for that answer to go from yes to no? I.e., does someone need to be trained? Do I need to hire a resource? That kind of thing to take it off my plate. So that visibility is important even before we jump into the matrix.
Yeah, well, let's expand a little bit on that. Because I never thought about that. I think we should challenge ourselves in that first list building.
Yeah.
And if your name is next to it, let's do a second pass and just say, do I really have to do it?
Yep.
Now, the answer may be, I can have someone else doing it, but I'm not willing to pay someone else to do it. Yep. Or literally someone cannot do this. This has to be me.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's interesting. I like that. I like going back and pushing yourself a little bit to say, do I have to do this? And is this worth my time?
Yep.
Because our time, especially as the practice owners or even as dentists in general, our time is very expensive.
Yeah.
And if you can pay someone, you know, $20 an hour and it takes them an hour to do this, that $20, adding in payroll taxes and, you know, all this stuff.
Absolutely.
May be really worth it, especially because it's going to increase your mental health. It's going to decrease your decision fatigue during the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So once we have that inventory and the challenge of the second column, we'll call it, then we can jump in the Eisenhower matrix. It was developed by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, and it has four quadrants. And it has to do with urgency and importance. So it's basically, do I need to do it now? Do I need to schedule it? Do I need to delegate it? Or do I need to eliminate it? Now, let's take that last one first. Elimination has to do with things that are not important and not urgent. If it's not important and not urgent, do you need it in your life, right? So the what's often taught is that the scheduling piece is what makes or breaks you. Because the scheduling piece, remember we said do it now or schedule it. So the upper
right- I'm looking at one as you're saying this.
So. Yeah, so the upper right quadrant can make or break anybody. Because those are the things that are important, but not urgent. The best example of this is going to the gym.
Yeah.
Is it important for your health? Yes. Is it urgent? No, the world's not going to come to an end if you miss a day at the gym. But if you don't make it your business to go or do something, it's going to have ramifications because it's important.
I also think mental health is one of these too.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you could go another day not mastering your mental health. And then after that, you could go one more day
Yeah.
not doing it. But when you get to where it's, I've went multiple months or I've went multiple years, and you look back and say, what did I miss out on? The family time, the production at my practice, the efficiency, the sleep, like all of this stuff. I think that is one of these things that it's not super urgent unless you're in a crisis.
Correct. And look, I mean, people who know me know I'm very transparent. I mean, this year I messed up. I overscheduled myself in terms of speaking engagements and workshops, and I don't have a lot of vacation time scheduled. And that was a misstep on my part, but I've corrected it for next year and for other things. So, life is a journey, not a destination. So let's give ourselves some grace.
One of
So,
the things that's important that in what you just said, you and I harp on this, is the awareness.
yeah, oh, 100%.
You made a mistake,
I
like
did.
we all do. I do the same thing. We all do. However, you and I are so far on our journey of mental wellness that, yes, you made the mistake, but you said, oh crap, I really overdid it this time. I really overscheduled myself. And even just having that awareness is very powerful. But you had the opportunity in this case to make a change, and you did. Now, there's sometimes when you can't make the change, but even having that awareness is so important because
Absolutely.
I know at when I was going down, 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 down to my valley of despair, I didn't even have the awareness to know that I was going down.
Exactly.
I saw me going down, down, down in hindsight. I didn't have awareness until I was at the very bottom.
100%, 100%. So I think the awareness and the scheduling piece is incredibly important. And the delegation piece clicks back into the overall inventory where we're trying to be honest with ourselves. And delegation is not always, it's not all created equal. There's great ways to delegate and not so effective ways to delegate.
Yeah, so delegation is urgent, but not important.
Correct. Correct. So in other words, it's time bound, but it's not something you necessarily need to do, right?
Yeah, that's what it
And
says in the one I'm looking at, which is it's Asana that's talking about it. And they said tasks that must get done, but don't require your specific skill.
Correct. And so here's the thing that I say to a lot of people that I believe people overlook. Delegation can be to a human or a system. The example I love to use in dentistry is confirmation of appointments. Who does that live anymore? Well, I'm sure there's some people that do, but most people have delegated that to a system, to a, voice over IP text system. And so that's a good example of delegation to a system, not a person. So we have to understand the things we need to do urgently, like today or in the near term future, the things we need to schedule in the future so we don't forget them, the things we can get off of our plate, or the things we should not be doing. Now, the trap we fall into is sometimes there are things that are not urgent, not important, but we enjoy doing them. Well, that's an awareness thing too, because what you say yes to, you say no to something else and the other way around. So if you choose to be engaging in stuff that's not important and not urgent, that's taking away from the other stuff, that's a choice you're making that's creating potentially
Now, would
increased
you
stress.
put in that specific not urgent, not important quadrant, and I'm not looking at you because I'm looking at the matrix, would you put hobbies and things in there? Because I would think those have importance.
So that's a really good question. What I would say to you is, I don't believe from an exercise perspective that we should be mixing personal and practice,
I see. Okay.
because we need to have our patient time and our, let's call it, administrative time to run the practice. We also need to have our personal time.
So
So
maybe
for
we need two matrices
correct.
for personal,
Correct.
or maybe we need three. Maybe I don't want to sound more overwhelming, but when we think about the three areas of our life, which are patient focus for dentists, patient focus, practice focus, personal focus.
So here's what I would say from a deep dive perspective as you get into this, I think that would be a great idea where you literally are making three separate lists so you understand kind of what's going on. I'll give you an example from my personal life. We've had somebody to clean our home ever since I could afford somebody to clean our home. Why? Because I feel that my time is better spent doing other things. Now, I can tell you in 2020, when nobody was coming into anybody's house, I got reminded how much work it is to really do it well. And so it kind of reinforced my belief that this is something that I choose to delegate to somebody else to allow me the time on the weekends or after hours to do what it is that I want to do. Right. And
So
so
because
that.
I have some examples that should be delegated. However, I enjoy doing them. One of the examples is cutting the grass and the gardening at our house.
Great.
I enjoy lawn care. We had a gardener do it before. He wasn't expensive. I wasn't happy with him doing it. I didn't like his work. And so immediately, so when I had a crucial conversation with him and basically let him go, I started doing it myself. And I really enjoyed it, actually. But it's not the best use of my time. However, I do enjoy it. And so that.
So, putting my coaching hat on, I would kind of challenge you back by saying you are labeling the activity as something that's not important, but it is something that you enjoy. And it is physical activity. It is giving you a sense of accomplishment,
Kind of a mindfulness practice too.
mindfulness practice. So what I would say back to you if we're having this conversation is, look, you're enjoying it. It needs to be done. How is this taking away time from your family? If the answer is it really isn't, then like go for it. Like, how is it any different than playing golf or going out with your buddies or spending time with your family or whatnot? It's something that is important to you that you get something out of. And so everything becomes. And a lot of times we do this without even thinking about it. It just becomes a cost benefit ratio. Like, if I'm going to do this, I can't do that. But that's okay because I'm choosing to do this. So that's fine, right?
Okay, so let me just summarize the four quadrants. You have urgent and important. These are things that you should do. They're tasks with deadlines or consequences. Then you have not urgent and important. These are things you should schedule. These are tasks with unclear deadlines that contribute to long-term success.
So what I would also argue, though, is that quadrant also falls into not, it's important, but not urgent today. So that's why I brought up my life insurance example. It's urgent and important in the month of July. It's important and not urgent in every other month of the year.
Interesting.
So if we schedule it by putting it on our calendar, then we've taken that burden off of our shoulders by doing it in the time in which it needs to be done.
Good one. Okay. Urgent and not important. These are things that we can delegate. So tasks that must get done but don't require your specific skill. Love that. I want to ask you something about that before after I finish this. And then not urgent, not important. They say delete distractions and unnecessary tasks. Okay, let's talk about delegating because dentists have a hard time delegating. We love having control. I mean, everybody likes having control, right? But dentists especially, I think we really like having control. And I don't know if that is beat into us in dental school or what it
It is.
takes to get to dental school, but there's something, all right? Being overachievers, we like having control. And I suffer from this too, is delegating. What is the best way to delegate, and how do we not micromanage?
So I teach this a lot. This is going to be in my video series that's coming out soon. The first thing we need to understand is that no one will do anything in the same way that we do it. And we've got to be okay with that.
I like that. You're setting an expectation for yourself. in
You've
this
got to
case.
be okay with it. I mean, you just got to, because if you're going to set an expectation with yourself that it's going to be done to the same level, well, good luck with that, right? Now, there's a difference between clinically acceptable and acceptable to you, meaning if you're going to delegate the fabrication of provisional restorations, it's got to meet certain minimum criteria.
Right. Right.
But it's still not going to be done the way you would do it. It's just, it is what it is. So the first thing is, it almost goes back to that inventory list. It's deciding what to delegate, right? Then you need to figure out who it is you're going to give this to and understand that they're not going to do it the same way that you're going to do it. Here, in my humble opinion, is the key. How you set up that first initial conversation. So if I were to say to you, Kyle, I've thought about this and I'm really excited to talk to you that I would like you to start taking over this task. Okay. And the truth of the matter is, Kyle, that the success in getting this task done is not just your ability to do it, but it's my ability to communicate to you what needs to be done.
Love this.
So this is on both of us. So, Kyle, what I want you to understand is this. I'm going to be asking you for, you know, how you understand what it is I've shared with you. I'm going to be checking in with you as we start this process of me handing this off to you. We might even then therefore meet monthly or quarterly, depending on what it is. And I just want you to understand something. This is as much about my communication ability as it is your execution ability. How do you feel about that?
I love that so much. And I think that if we communicated more like that,
yes,
there would be so much less stress in the dental office.
Absolutely.
And when you're saying that, I was thinking of, I think we talked about it last podcast, setting expectations for new team members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we talked about, you know, at week one, I'd like for you to be able to take radiographs. At month one, I'd like for you to be able to really be an expert on the practice management system, et cetera. But if we had talked at the beginning about that, it puts less burden on the new team member.
Absolutely.
It also opens up the conversation a little more.
Well,
so it's saying, I'm going to tell you this, but there's things I'm going to forget to tell you. There's things that are so easy for me to remember because I've been doing this for 10 years.
Absolutely.
That, you know, you may not figure it out, but please know that if there's something I missed, please come and tell me, and don't feel like you're being a burden by doing it.
Yep, 100%. Now, there's something else that this does, which is hugely important. I'm channeling Dr. Gary DeWood, my dear friend, who says, you know, what changed for you? So if at some point in this process, either near term or long term, either the subordinate says into, you know, kind of lets you know through nonverbal communication, or you hear it through the grapevine that they're being micromanaged because you're asking them to check in or blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh, now you have somewhere to go back to. Hey, you know, Susie, you know, you just shared with me that you feel like you're being micromanaged. You know, I want you to know that I'm hearing you say that, and it gives me some concern, because when we talked about this originally, I was under the impression that we both agreed that this is as much about my communication as it is your execution, and that we agreed that we were going to check in. So what about what's going on now makes you feel like you're being micromanaged?
Mm-hmm.
What a powerful question that is, right?
Yeah.
But if you didn't set it up in the beginning, you have no leg to stand on.
It's the
one.
Expectation. Yeah.
Right?
It's the expectation.
Yeah.
So one thing I like about what we've been talking about
mm-hmm.
is that it allows you to be present in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember who said this. They said, you know, a lot of people say time is the most important resource we have, right? Mm-hmm. And whoever this was, I can't remember. They said, I don't think it's time. I think it's presence. Because even if you have the time, but you're not present in that moment, you're not actually there.
Oh, 100%.
And this is the problem that I see dental professionals having is even if they have the time, they're not present in
Absolutely.
That sense.
Well, you know that I just created this. This is my templated schedule, and I'm living this every single day. And when it comes to presence, Look, I've had to check myself because I got in the habit when I would sit down, I would like open my email, but I don't do that anymore, except on Wednesday. I get to it later. And what I do, and there's research on this as well, I'll put my phone in airplane mode, I'll set an alarm. I did it right before we were going to record this. I was working on one of my video lessons. I put my phone on airplane mode, I set an alarm. It's done. And I was completely focused on the lesson script I was writing. And I got much farther than I ever would have if I wasn't present.
It's that idea of deep work.
Right. And this could be anything. This could be patient care. This could be whatever it is. If we're thinking about home when we're at our practice or thinking about our practice when we're at home, we're not present. We're not giving 100% to that patient or to that loved one, which they richly deserve.
And this is where dentists have problems. This is where you and I have seen this. Is you're prepping a crown on a lower molar, and your office manager comes to you and says, I don't know, something, oh, there's a bill for this, or the sterilizer, something is, we need to do the spore testing on this. And you're like in clinical dentist mode. You're not ready to be the practice owner, the practice manager yet. And it's all about setting the expectations with your team, setting the boundaries with your team, and communicating that. So you can have a specific day in the week that you do practice management stuff. You can have a specific time of the day. You can say, from 3 to 4 p.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays, I do practice management stuff. And then you have to communicate that, set the boundary, set the expectation with your team to say, listen, unless it's an emergency, I don't want to hear practice management things until I have my scheduled time for practice management. It's almost like think of me as a different person. In here, I'm Dr. Stanley, the dentist. At those practice management times, I'm Dr. Stanley, the business owner.
So I got to tell you a funny story. I don't think you've ever heard this one, but I can feel the dentists out there going, yeah, I tried that and they just don't listen. I told them not to do that and they just did. This is a true story and it's a bit extreme, but it's a true story and it worked. I had a periodontist client who would sequester their consults to, let's say, Wednesday afternoons.
Okay.
And they had actually, it wasn't just consults, it was treatment in general. They had a rule that he wouldn't go to the next room until the notes were completed, not the letter to the referring, no, just the basic notes, most of which were templated that the team was responsible for.
Okay.
He had a problem with the team actually following through and doing that. And he said, I keep doing it. I keep doing it. I said, you know what you're going to do? I said, you're going to finish with, oh, and by the way, they had kiosks in the hall, like terminals in the hall.
Okay.
I said, you know what you're going to do? He goes, what? I said, you're going to finish the patient and you're going to stand there until it's done before you go into the next one. And he looked at me, he goes, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. I said, how important is it that it's completed before you go to the next? Oh, it's very important. I said, so what are you going to do about it? And he looked at me and he goes, I'm going to stand there until they do it. And I said, And he did, and it worked because he followed through with what it was he asked. Now, again, that's a little extreme, but it became very necessary because of the flow of his office and the busyness of it. It was necessary. But our teams, or and not but, our teams pick up on our cues. Like if we're not being true to ourselves and we say we're going to do X, but we do Y every single time, how many times do you think it's going to take for them to just own up and be like, that's what he or she says, but they're not going to do that. And then they just do their own thing. And do you blame them?
The other thing is when you're starting something new, like let's say you're listening to this podcast and you're saying, oh my gosh, I love what they're talking about. I want to incorporate something like this. So next week you go in and you say, okay, Tuesdays from 3 to 5, that's my practice management time. Unless something is an emergency, don't bring me practice management issues. You can make a list on my desk. You can leave it there. I'll look at it Tuesday afternoon. Now it's Wednesday morning and they come to you and say, doc, you know, this and that, and something practice management related.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to remind them a few times because it's something new.
Yeah,
But
100%.
you're reminding them about that initial conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John, remember we had that conversation last week about Tuesday afternoons, my practice management time? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, please put it on my desk or add it to my Asana or whatever you use, and I'll take a look then. And the other thing you could say is, I do this with my son sometimes because kids love to interrupt you. You're having a conversation with another adult. They come to dad, 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 dad. And you talk to them so many times about not interrupting me. But I tell them, if it's an emergency, please interrupt me.
Of course.
And so my son may come up and say, dad, 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 dad. And I'll look at him and say, is this an emergency? And he'll be like, oh, no, it's not. And then I'll go back to having the conversation with my wife or whatever it is. But it's that reminder. And I think it may take a few times to do that, especially if you've done it for 10 years with the same team, not that way, and now you're changing something. Change is always challenging. But when you change setting expectation, when you change setting boundaries, and when you have the good communication, like the example that you gave, you can use that same example on them. It can
And
be very easy if you do it in the way that you do. Say, hey, Tuesday afternoons, that's now my practice management time. I know that before I kind of did it here and there, but it wasn't good for both the patients or the team or my sanity. So I've decided to do it this way. Now, in scheduling this, I want to make sure that I'm communicating this well to you, that you guys understand why I'm doing this. So please feel open and honest to ask questions about why I'm doing this or how we're doing this and how this benefits the team.
Absolutely. And so I'll give you a related example. So, I showed my template. So in this template is time for my one-on-one clients. Why do I have time in, or how did those times come about? They came about due to history. Like I know that I tend to see clients on this day and this day, but you get the idea. So I've created a template schedule like somebody would do for crowns in the morning on Wednesdays, right? But then I realized, how am I going to hold myself accountable? And you know what I realized? I had created many of, I know many of you might have heard of Calendly. It's an automatic calendar scheduling. So when I'm talking with one of my clients for our next appointment, what do? I bring up the Calendly interface
A custom
because
one
that's
for them.
programmed to those times that I
Yep.
picked to hold myself accountable to my own damn template.
Right. So they can only book at those times.
So my challenge to everybody is, when we're going to set up something new, how do we set up the expectations? How do we set up the boundaries? How do we support the implementation, including with our own selves, to keep our own selves accountable?
Well, that's the biggest challenge implementing any change in the dental office is implementation. The idea is not the question because this happens all the time. You see this, you go to an awesome CE course, you come back, you're all pumped up. You say, hey, team members, we're going to change and do this now. And they're going, first of all, I don't want to change anything because I'm a creature of habit. But why are we doing this? What, how does this add? The importance is that implementation. If you can come with an implementation plan, and these are what the best companies do, if someone's selling you a product, they're selling you the implementation as well, that they're going to hold your hand and say what's worked best. What do you think is the best way to implement something new? Just because I know
That's
you
it.
guys did this at Spear a lot.
Yeah. So, you know where my actual thought goes is to a SWOT analysis. So, SWOT is an acronym. It stands for strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So, it's, why are we doing this? What is this going to gain us in doing? What's the strength of this? How is this going to strengthen the practice? What are some weaknesses in this? Well, if we do this, then we won't be able to do that, right? What are some of the opportunities if we make this change? Well, we're going to increase our production. We're going to not have double hygiene booked while we're, in a more comprehensive restorative appointment. What are the threats? Would be the T, the last one. Well, we might not adhere to the template. Or maybe a threat is a patient calls and says, I can only come in on this day. What do we do? How do we handle that? Right? So I think a conversation utilizing a SWOT analysis, and there's some amazing YouTube videos that are not long on how to implement those, gives you the kind of logical, analytical place to come from to say, okay, so we want to do X. What might get in the way of that actually, coming to fruition or coming to life? Like, what's going to get in our way? I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So, to summarize what we talked about today,
Yeah.
we need to have organized times for patience, for practice, for personal. Wearing multiple hats is challenging. Not being present where you are is challenging. And we've seen this on like the Light Side Club and people that take our Light Side Live course. A lot of these people have every moment of their practice focused on patient care.
Right.
And then
Absolutely.
they wonder why they're so stressed out.
Absolutely. And we've talked about this before, not to go into tangents, but if you're saying to yourself, I have to work every day, what that tells me is you didn't plan. You didn't sit down and figure out how much do I need to make? What's my average production per day? How many days do I need to work? Like when I hear that, I know, Houston, we got a problem because we need to figure that out as well.
Yeah,
But
you
that
only need a few numbers to really figure it out. You
absolutely.
need production per day, average production per day, or average production per hour. You need to know your overhead, and you need to know what you want to make a year. It's really, if you have those three things, you can know, I want to make $1 million. Okay, my overhead is 70%. Or sorry, I want to produce $1 million, right? My overhead is 70%. So I want to take home 300K. And so my daily production is X. How many days do I need to do? How many days do I need to go to make 300K, AKA produce a million?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've heard this often as well. Well, what happens if the average is lower? Well, we add in a fudge factor of X number of days to overcome challenges that we didn't expect. Like if you live in a part of the country that gets snowstorms or hurricanes or whatnot, you may be closed for 6 days out of a year that you didn't anticipate. So, how many days is the practice or practices in the area? If you're new, ask a colleague. Have you been closed forcibly due to unforeseen events over the last 3 years? Throw that in, right? So, there's ways to do this, even in the face of variability, even in the face of not being able to be exact, we can still come pretty close. Back to kind of the summary thing, I think the other thing I would say is, we have to sequester the time, practice administrative personal. We have to take the time to create an inventory of what needs to be accomplished in those times. Challenge ourselves, are we the only one that can do them? And then give ourselves grace to implement a new world order. Possibly utilizing the Eisenhower matrix over a reasonable period of time so that at the end of that time, we can be living a different life. I think would be what I heard us say to everybody today.
Yeah, I'm making some notes right now. I love what you were saying.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
great. I think this was good. The importance of focus and presence in dentistry. When you are
Amen.
present and you've allotted for the time, there's some research study. I don't have the exact one in front of me, but saying how big of a stressor it is for dentists to be late. It's a huge stressor. We hate being late. And this kind of goes along with that. You know, if you're late because your ops manager pulled you aside and you needed to do this really quick for the practice, but you have a patient there, and then your husband calls you, your wife calls you, and you're, it's so challenging. It's so overwhelming.
It is. It is. It
But
is.
if you have this stuff scheduled and if you have it prioritized, then dentistry can be an amazing profession. You can make good money and you can have much less stress.
Absolutely. And here's the other thing I guarantee will happen. When you really start to get this as a standard practice for yourself, you will then be able to give yourself grace and be able to shuffle stuff around based upon priority. So I will be very honest with myself. If I have a laundry list of things that need to be done in a given week, or let me rephrase, sorry, that I've assigned to a given week, and something comes up and I'm time broke to get stuff done, I will look back at my list and challenge myself and say, do all of these need to be done this week? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, when can it be done otherwise? Can it be done next week or maybe even next month sometimes? Like sometimes we put fun stuff in there or things that we find fun as individuals that muck the gear works up. Like let's start being more honest with ourselves.
Well, good. So I hope everybody realize the importance of presence and focus in your practice, in your personal life, with your patients. And if you want to spend a few days with Martin and I going deep into all the stuff we talk about on this podcast, you can join us at Lightside Live. Just go to lightsidedentistry.com and click on Lightside Live, or you can go to Wellness and Dentistry and there's a link there. It's 2 days, 2 day workshop. Limited seating because it is a hands-on workshop and we can only work with not that many people. So go there, sign up. And also, if you have not written us a review, please write us a review. This helps us get the podcast out to more dental professionals, help more people. You know, we do this free content to really help a lot of people. So that's the only thing we ask from you is to support us by sharing it, writing a review, and we really appreciate your support. So we'll see you next week.
Take care.